Hello, everyone, and welcome to our cybersecurity podcast featuring John Aranio and Vinod Paul of Align Cybersecurity. I am John Wowak, Chief Operating Officer here at Cipramin Compliance Services. Today, we will hit some hot topics on cybersecurity and hopefully convey the importance of a sound cyber program. We will also stress the importance of being prepared should your firm have a cyber breach or be the recipient of a regulator's review. John and Vinod bring the industry experience necessary to help us understand where our industry has its shortfalls. The regulatory landscape in the terms of cybersecurity for investment advisors, broker-dealers, and fund managers has changed drastically over the past 5 years. Protecting sensitive client data and proprietary information has become a top concern for all firms in our industry. Your data, your services, your information can be accessed from almost anywhere at any time. Even though cybersecurity is top of mind, we have experienced that when we take a deeper dive into a single client's cyber environment, that concern is not always reflected in its control environment and cyber policies. So let's dive into our discussion now. John, what sort of answers do you get in speaking to smaller firms in the industry when it comes to data protection controls and cybersecurity measures in general?
Thank you, John. Yeah, so the answers we get really range the gamut. We typically work with registered investment advisors of all sizes and shapes and different investment programs. But putting that variable aside, when speaking to a particular firm, we'll get answers that range from one side of the spectrum that where an advisor is saying, well, my IT firm said we are good, so we're okay, to other advisors who are a little bit more ahead of the curve on complying with these prevailing cybersecurity requirements may say, you know, we just did an assessment last quarter, our policy is up to date, but we're considering some active threat protection or beefing up our education. So we will get different answers along the spectrum that sort of demonstrate where our clients are. Another answer that we'll get, John, is some managers think that if they use a decentralized IT platform, for example, using Dropbox or G Suite with connected to laptops and phones and iPads or panels and things like that without a server, they believe that they have no data. So they'll think that they don't have any cybersecurity obligations. This is a dangerous misperception. I mean, really what we spend a lot of time doing is explaining to our clients that if you have investors and if you make investment decisions that are proprietary and if you have employee information, including wages and bonuses, et cetera, that you have data that needs to be protected. Specifically, Regulation SP, the safeguard rules and the identity theft red flag rules are black letter laws, regulations that require these controls to be in place. And regardless of where you choose to store this information, for example, some managers think that if they have their subscription agreements stored with their fund administrator, that they have no duty to protect that information. That's not the case. Every investment manager has a fiduciary and statutory obligation to protect this information wherever they choose to put it.
So, John, given the cost and the reputation risk, should a breach occur or the headline risk, why do you believe firms are so reluctant to allocate enough time and money on cybersecurity?
That's a great question, John. I think for doing this for over 3 years now, I think that there's a fundamental lack of understanding or appreciation for this whole cybersecurity phenomenon. Really, when you break it down, cybersecurity presents a multifactorial challenge that requires a multidisciplinary or a faceted approach to really get to the bottom of creating a model or an appropriate cybersecurity program for a given manager. Someone needs to create a synergy or weave together regulatory knowledge, security expertise, and technological acumen. And typically, these three areas are dislocated functions and require disparate skill sets. So a lot of our clients, before they speak to us, they're speaking either to a technology firm that will talk about just the technological aspect of cybersecurity, or they may speak to another vendor that does security laws and compliance, and they'll talk about what the securities laws say about cybersecurity. But without an advisor that can put together these prevailing security requirements, understand the regulatory landscape, and have a working level of expertise in technology, it's really hard to come up with a solution that is appropriately sized and scales to each investment manager.
Wow, sounds like you've given that pitch before. Wow, that sounds great. Vinod, I guess in your opinion, being out in the field and seeing the technical side of the cybersecurity, what are some concerns that our client firms face today?
Sure, John. You know, that's a great question. Unfortunately, the list of cybersecurity concerns that face our clients today, it's growing. I'm going to highlight three of them. You know, first, let's talk about unprecedented attacks. The amount of valuable information that resides on multiple data sources has grown exponentially from earlier days of a single computer. The opportunity for organizations of all sizes to have their data compromised grows as the number of devices that store confidential data increases. Internet of Things, born of all these devices, has lent itself to creating an unprecedented attack surface that security professionals never had to deal with in the past. Next, I'm going to touch upon cyber espionage. Both large and small organizations are beginning to store much of their data in the cloud. Think about just how many third parties a typical firm outsources to during the normal course of business. Copies of your data exist both within and outside of your organization. Whether the thief is coming in from the inside or out, attacking private, public, or hybrid cloud technologies, trade secrets, or other valuable intellectual properties are all at risk. You know, it's important for clients to be aware of cloud technology best practices and regulations surrounding sensitive data. Setting up private and public cloud securely is really important, and monitoring of it is also key. Finally, I'm going to talk about data theft. According to SEC, small and business, mid-sized businesses are not just targets of cybercrime, they are the principal target. In fact, the majority of all targeted cyber attacks last year were directed at SMBs. Many criminals target these businesses as gateways into larger ones, as small businesses usually don't have a large and robust security protocol in place to prevent theft. John, you know, I'd like to highlight that I think if you look at all these various cybersecurity threats, that the number one cybersecurity concern facing our client firms today is what's called CEO fraud scams. Essentially, it's a targeted phishing campaign, often directed at individuals that are in a finance or administrative role at our client firms. These attacks are very clever, as they impersonate the CEO or the head of the firm, and they use their names and a fake email address to contact employees. Very often, if recipients aren't careful when they're reviewing these emails, they can overlook the fraudulent email address. These CEO fraud emails are usually very brief, they're usually very intelligent, and often urge the recipient to complete a task like send out a wire transfer. Without proper cybersecurity awareness training, a single email could convince one of your employees to send money to cybersecurity, to a cyber criminal.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, Vinod. We have firsthand experience on that. And being the CFO here at Sipperman, I recently got an email from T. Sipperman, and it came to me to move money and pay the bills as we discussed, and he signed it off, thanks, Tom Sipperman. So other than having the wrong T name, I might have been suckered in, but I'm not going to send money on behalf of Tom Sipperman. So, John, we all know that banks and casinos have the strictest security controls in their industries, but they still get robbed. We are also told that having the best cyber defense will not prevent data breaches or loss. In your opinion, if I have limited resources, is it more important to implement strict controls to prevent a data breach or have the necessary policies and procedures in place to deal with and control the breach?
So, John, that's a great question. It's one that we see our clients tackling all the time. And unfortunately, the answer is that both are important. You know, just as a backdrop to this question, a couple of things are probably merit noting. One, including the SEC's regulatory policy on cybersecurity, as well as other regulatory regimes that address cyber. There's no statute or regulation that requires you to guarantee that you will not be breached. And implicit in that is an understanding that in this day and age where we are in history, everyone has been breached at one time or another. It's just a question of whether or not they know that to be true. Now, that's not to say that you're not expected to have certain reasonable controls in place, but I think it is worthy of pointing out that the expectation is not that you can guarantee that you've not been breached or will never be breached. But to get to the heart of your question, I think both in implementing controls to prevent the breach as well as policies and procedures to deal with the breach are both important. For registered investment advisors, the SEC has had numerous expressions on what they expect and what experts in the space, we refer to this as the Cyber Six. And these are sort of six categorical controls that you need to at least acknowledge and consider. And these include things like adopting a governance structure that includes periodic risk assessments. It also includes, as a second point, access rights. Third, data loss prevention. Fourth, vendor management. Fifth, employee training. And sixth, incident response. But I think for any, in your question, with limited resource, what do you pick off first? I think what makes sense is to figure out what each individual investment advisor has in place. A lot of our investment advisors that are beefing up their IT network have a lot of these controls that are inherent in the platform that they're on, and some of them are just unaware of configuring certain controls and could do that quite easily, sometimes with no extra cost. So I think that sometimes that exploration, that exercise and going through that is an important one. But at the same time, knowing that at the end of the day, you're not expected to give a certificate that we've never been breached or guarantee that we never will be breached, it is very important to be able to demonstrate whether you're an investment advisor with 2 to 3 or 4 employees or one with 80 or 100 employees, that you have a written, documented, and appropriate incident response plan that just says if something happens, this is the course of action that we're going to engage in, this is the sequence of events. So I guess the answer is that it depends.
Great. Thanks, John. So, Vinod, if I was starting an investment advisor and I hired you as chief technology officer, what are the first things that you're addressing at our new firm?
Sure, John. The first 5 things that I would address from a cybersecurity standpoint is, first, I'll put in 5 categories. First, educating the employees with cybersecurity awareness training. You know, having a fully integrated cybersecurity awareness training program is part of growing the business. And it's going to provide the staff with the necessary tools to identify risks and better protect the assets at the firm. So if you look at cybersecurity principles and protecting yourself, you have to look at layers and putting layers in place. I look at the employees as the number one layer in helping to protect the firm. The cybersecurity program should always involve all levels of the organization and come in and can come in various forms, such as discussion forums, in-person training, and mock phishing exams. Next, a second one, I would shift the cybersecurity strategy to a holistic approach. One of the most prominent mistakes that I see firms make are they'll set up security on a device-by-device basis, and I would look at it as a more holistic approach. Instead of sticking to security by device tactic, I would establish a more holistic approach for the business to allow for us to bolster defenses against cyber threats on a company-wide basis. Third, I would incorporate a password protection policy. Having a robust password protection policy in place is critical for helping keep company information private and uncompromised. Having two-factor authentication, a password manager, and file permissions for various data will strengthen security protocols and enforce procedures that are in place. Employees should never be sharing password information over email, phone, or messenger applications. And furthermore, file permissions should be restricted to only those members that need access to specific company data. Fourth, I would invest in a cybersecurity program. And just to reiterate a little bit of what John said, employing a cybersecurity service provider is a long-term investment in your company's future, yielding numerous benefits that far outweigh the costs that are associated with implementing a cybersecurity program. Firms should seek a cybersecurity advisory practice that will help develop a cybersecurity risk management program that's tailored to at the unique risk profile of a typical business, and also monitor systems at 24/7, 365. And finally, fifth, I would say understand our data footprint. There's often a misconception by many firms that their data is contained in one location, and as long as that location is secure, they're secure. This is a very big misconception, as many firms rely on third parties from everywhere, from their attorney to their accountants to outsourced IT, and finally third-party consultants that they use in day-to-day operations. Without realizing it, many clients have data across multiple locations, and many of those data sets aren't even governed by the client themselves. It's important to note that when you invest a cybersecurity plan, that you're also ensuring that that plan takes into account for third-party management as part of that plan.
Well, thanks. That's a great overview. I'm glad I hired you as my chief technology officer.
Thank you, John.
Well done.
So, John, moving forward, some of the questions that we have is, how can a firm work with Sipperman and Align? Specifically, how can a firm work with you to start this process and really move it forward?
Yeah, that's also a timely question. We do see when we're able to talk to clients and we meet them at industry events or through referrals, we see that they spend a lot of time just sort of reading up on this stuff and figuring how to sort of break the seal. I think a natural entry point into cybersecurity is for registered investment advisors when they do their annual compliance assessment and review. Because cybersecurity is part and parcel of a compliance program from the SEC, it's inevitable that this will come up at least annually. But from a practical perspective, really the first step to do this is to reach out to some cybersecurity advisors. There are a growing number of them in the space, including Align, and see what you can do in terms of doing an initial cybersecurity assessment. If you've had one done already, you're expected by the SEC to do this at least annually, so you're going to need this assessment every year. The good thing is that this assessment need not be overly technical or overly inclusive. What it should do, and what I really think is where the rubber meets the road, is the assessment should cover the six categorical controls that we mentioned before, the cyber six, and therefore it should be done by an advisor that is able to evaluate and assess not just the technological components of your cybersecurity program, but the operational components. So on the one hand, you certainly want to be able to have an advisor that looks at things like the access rights and data loss prevention controls, encryption, multi-factor authentication, et cetera. But also there needs to be an evaluative process on things like employee training. What are we doing? Is it industry focused? Can we report on it? Are people being phished? Are they failing these phishing campaigns? And what are we doing to remediate it? Another operational aspect of this, of course, is vendor management. What are we doing in reaching out to our data critical vendors? So I think the first thing, or the easiest thing to do, is to look for a cybersecurity assessment that will cover both the technological and operational components of your business as it relates to cybersecurity.
I think that's great, John, and that's a great segue into the product that Sipperman and Align offer is CyberSecure. So part of our annual review process here at Sipperman is we put our clients through a CyberSecure assessment, which does exactly what John outlined and assesses the Cyber Six and really comes away with a to-do plan. We will give our recommendations and priorities and have a call through the CyberSecure process. So that's a great way to get it moving and get your first cybersecurity assessment done. Well, thanks, John, and thanks, Vinod, for participating in today's Cybersecurity Update podcast. Please be on the lookout for the Sipperman Align Cybersecurity Survey that will help gauge our clients' readiness and status in the, with their cyber environment. If you have any questions, please be sure to contact our firms. And if you have any concerns around your cybersecurity policies and procedures and would like to talk further about compliance, feel free to contact us directly. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.